Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this opportunity that we have as we still celebrate this Easter time. Lord, we have gathered together to worship and to pray and to sing and to dedicate. Lord, now we come to the time where we open up your word and we are eager for you to speak to us through it. Lord, we pray that our eyes and our hearts and our ears would be opened to what you have to say to us. We pray that we would not be stubborn, that we would not be inattentive, but Lord, we ask that we continue to focus on you during this time. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I can remember when I was in college, I worked at a locally owned grocery store. I had been friends with the owner's son, and he hired me on to stock shelves and work in the warehouse a little bit. And I'd been there a couple weeks, and I remember one day I was just casually stocking some of the shelves, and, it was the end of the day, it was the end of the week, I'm kind of anxious to, being a young guy, to go out that night after working like 8 hours or so. I'm anxious to close up shop and go on. And while I was just kind of, lackadaisically, stalking the shelves, I noticed this guy kind of walking up and down the aisle. And, he was just randomly looking at the shelves, and he walked down the next aisle, and he'd look up at the ceiling and look at the signs. I was like, who's this guy? What is he doing? Does he buy something? What are you doing? So I would continue to do what I was doing, and I got bored, and as I was due sometimes when I got bored at work, I would go up to the front where the cashiers were and flirt with some of the cashiers. That's just what young guys do, right? So I was up there and just chit-chatting with them, and I'd happen to see the guy again as he, came out an aisle, and I said, who that guy is? What is he doing, And somebody said, oh, yeah, he's one of the owners. Number one, I did not know that there was more than one owner to that store, all right? And number two, I hadn't exactly been a stellar employee over the past couple minutes. It's time to get back to work, right? I misunderstood who that guy really was. I just saw him maybe as a vendor or some curious customer walking around. I didn't know. But when I discovered who he truly was and what he was doing, it totally changed my outlook on what I was doing there, right? And people often look at Jesus in a similar fashion, right? They look at Jesus, he's a great teacher or a great philosopher or a fantastic moral example. That's the way they look at Jesus. Some people look at Jesus as just somebody that you can turn to in a difficult time. You've been told Jesus is always there with you, and so when you have a hard time, you call on Jesus. And so that's the way they primarily look at Jesus, as somebody that gets you out of a jam, right? Some people look at Jesus as a life coach. Like, they have their life pretty much all figured out. Things are going well, nice, fine. And Jesus is just kind of add the cherry on top of my ice cream sundae of life, just to make things better in my life. And then there's some people that just look at Jesus as a ticket to heaven. We kind of get scared. We kind of think that, we think that there's a next life somewhere, so I need to invite Jesus Christ into my heart, make him my Savior, and so that I know when I die that I'll go to heaven. I remember doing that when I was young. Jesus is all of those things, but he's way more than that. And if we misunderstand his mission, then we miss who he truly is. And if we miss who he truly is, then we end up being confused sometimes. Or we end up being disappointed. Or we end up dismissing a lot of what he said because we're just too busy living our own life and following our own path and our own desires. And when that happens, we can miss out on a lot of blessings of life that God intends to give us. Jesus was just, he was not some random person who just ended up being very charismatic, religious genius. He came with a purpose. Jesus was intentional. He had a multifaceted mission. And so today, we're going to continue with this series. Remember last week I said it just wasn't enough to celebrate the resurrection one day of the year. We're going to do it all through this season that we call Eastertide. And we're going to look at the importance of Jesus and why he came. Why did Jesus come? What was his mission? So we begin in all of these. We're going to look at Scripture as we do that. But we start off in John chapter 1, verse 18. And it says this, "No one has ever seen God but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." And so the first reason that Jesus came was to show us what God is like. I talked a little bit about this last week, but this is really, really important, okay? Because a lot of us have messed up views of God. A lot of us, when we think about our heavenly Father, we transfer the qualities of our earthly Father and project them onto our heavenly Father. Now, that's okay if your dad, if you had a good dad growing up, but if you had a lousy father growing up, there's a lot of stuff you got to work through. But that's almost naturally what we do. A lot of people, when we think about God, we just think, well, you know, God's just some old man up there. Sometimes when they paint pictures of him, he's some old man up there. And so he's old-fashioned. He's out of touch with the rest of the world, right? Or sometimes we see God as a cop. And we're fearful because, you know, if we step out of line, the cop's going to throw our tail into hell, right? So we got to be good. Some of us, we look at God as Buddy Jesus. There's a movie come out, talked about Buddy Jesus. Like, God is cool, man. God is cool. He loves everybody. So there's a sense if he loves everybody, he doesn't care if I do anything wrong because he loves me. Everything's cool, right? But if you want to know what the heart of God is like, we look to Jesus. We see Jesus' care. We see his compassion. But we will also see Jesus' confrontation. So he came to show us what God is like. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Another reason why Jesus came is he came to seek out those who are lost. Now, lost implies that we don't know where we're going, right? Now, that may be true. A lot of us say, you know, well, when we were younger, I didn't know what I was doing because back then life was all about, you know, making money and power and popularity and pleasure and leisure and entertainment and all of that. And yeah, but when we were young, we were lost. We thought that those were the most important things in life. Thankfully, when you get older, you don't have to deal with any of those anymore, right? Now what are we worried about? We're worried about security. When you get older, you worry about, am I gonna have enough? Am I gonna be okay till the end? Because a lot of us, let's face it, we've been around a while. We have a good idea how life works, what's going to bring us happiness and fulfillment. But here's the deal. If you're not trusting in Jesus for everything, for our today, for our tomorrow, and for our future, the Bible says that we're lost. We're not trusting in Jesus. The Bible says we're lost and we're being led astray and we're going to end up being disappointed. And so Jesus is seeking us out leading us to a better path. And he used stories, told parables like the woman who had 10 coins and lost one of them, searched until she found that one, the story about the shepherd who had 100 sheep and lost one and went searching for it, right, until he finds it. Until he finds it. It's interesting. Whenever somebody, you know, when the world talks about somebody who becomes a Christian or starts going to church, what do they say? Well, Joe found Jesus, right? That's what they say. That's not the truth. The reality is we didn't find Jesus. Jesus found us. He's searching for us because we're in a lost path. And the mission, one of the mission of Jesus is to seek the lost. I read a story this week about a woman, 28-year-old woman, who just this past spring had planned to spend, go up into the Sierra Nevada, California mountains and to spend 3 days hiking in the mountains. Sound like my trip, right? After 3 days, there was no word. Her family didn't hear from her. And so a search party was sent out looking for her for the next week. They covered 600 square miles, could not find this woman at all. Later on, she ended up telling her story that she had encountered a sudden blizzard that just came up, and she fell off a cliff. Fell off a cliff. She was unconscious for 2 hours, managed to make a splint for her one leg that was messed up, popped her other kneecap back into place, and she's a bit of a survivalist. So she was able to forage with plants and stuff like that. She could eat okay, but she lost her tent and 2 sleeping bags. And so she walked for miles and for days. 3 weeks later, she comes upon this remote cabin in the woods that is unlocked. And the owner would leave it unlocked should someone need shelter from the elements, right? 8 hours later, the owner happens to show up, and she gives him a big hug and, rescues her and everything. And at her press conference, the woman called that cabin her saving grace. And she said, without that cabin, I would not be here. And because of that woman's condition, because of her lostness, she was unable to save herself. She needed some outside help. Mark chapter 10, verse 45, Jesus said this, "For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Another reason that Jesus came, he came to rescue us and to save us. Like that woman, the Bible describes us as being broken and being lost. We are unable to save ourselves. Sometimes we think we can. Sometimes we think, oh, if I, I've got things figured out, if I can just do more good things than bad things, Sometimes we think that, okay, well, if I give enough money to the church, or we can think, if I have this all figured out, if we can philosophize ourselves into the kingdom. But the problem is that we are sinners through and through. We are sinners through and through. We make bad choices. We make bad choices. And don't do this. Well, not as bad as Joe down the street. That's usually what we end up saying in order to justify ourselves, right? I'm not as bad as them. I'm not as bad as her. No, we're sinners, okay? And our sin separates us from God. That's part of that big gulf that we sang about this morning. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Bible says that the wages of sin is death. It's going to lead us to death. But the good news of the gospel is that God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to earth as an example. And he sent him to the cross, and he surrendered his life for the sake of humanity. Because Jesus was good enough. He came and he lived that perfect life, and his death was the ransom that set us free. Amen. That is his mission. That is his mission. He rescued us and he saved us. Last week we were in the book of Colossians chapter 1. talking about the supremacy of Jesus Christ. When chapter 2, Paul gives another reason why Jesus came and his mission. Colossians chapter 2, verses 13, 15 says this, "When you were dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made you alive with Christ." He rescued us. "He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross." We could just say amen and just dismiss and go there, right? What an awesome verse. What an awesome verse. But look at the next verse. This is what that did. "And having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross." I love that picture, right? Here's another reason why Jesus came, to defeat sin and evil and death. He disarmed the powers and authorities, those of the spiritual world. Now, I don't know about you, I believe that there is a spirit world out there. There are good spirits, but I also believe that there are some evil spirits out there that are intent on undoing a lot of the good that God has done. They are all about death and destruction. Just because you can't see a spirit move doesn't mean it's not real. Jesus says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, the big question is, wait a minute. If sin and evil were defeated on the cross by Jesus, why is there so much? Why is it still around in the world today? Notice what verse 15 says. One day they will be totally wiped out. Okay? We read about that in the book of Revelation. But verse 15 says, the powers and authorities have been disarmed. Now, that's important. You know, if somebody is disarmed, they can't hurt you as much, right? They're disarmed. Which means that these spiritual authorities, negative spiritual authorities, they can't make you do anything. They can't cause you to sin. They can only tempt you and speak lies to you, trying to convince you to go against the way of Jesus. But folks, because of the cross and the resurrection, they have been defeated. All right? They have been defeated. That's why Jesus came, is to defeat them. When we first moved here 17 some odd years ago, there was a buzz in the community. It was not because Beaver Dam Baptist Church got a new pastor, but it was because there was a Walmart going in up at Zion Crosser. Man, yeah, amen, right? And, you know, when we first moved here, we had a number of people that come up to us. Oh, yeah, we're getting a new Walmart, right? You know, that's one of the things that they tell us, like, we've arrived, we got a new Walmart, right? And Walmart was moving into the neighborhood. How awesome was that? You know, now we don't have to travel far, right? Mark chapter 1, verses 14 and 15 says this, "Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Here's another reason, and this is very important. I want you to get this one. Another reason Jesus came is to establish God's kingdom on this earth. Okay? Jesus says that God... It's like Jesus stepped down and said, God has moved into the neighborhood. God is now close by. He's you know, accessible now, right? He's not far off. You don't have to travel far. He's right here. And so he says, repent, get your life straight, because God is right here. He's in the neighborhood. And then through his life and his teachings, Jesus began to expound what the kingdom of God is like. And as we read some of the teachings of Jesus, all of a sudden we realize that the kingdom of God is vastly different than the world that we live in. It's often called the upside down kingdom. It's different than how we normally operate. Well, I mean, we're familiar with a lot of phrases of how the world normally operates, right? We talk about things like, well, survival of the fittest, and you got to look out for number one. If you're going to survive in this world, you got to look out for number one. And then we get to the teachings of Jesus, and he says, well, if you want to be great, you need to serve everybody else. You know who's great in the kingdom of God? Somebody who serves everybody else. You need to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. That's what it's like in the kingdom of God. We hear phrases like money talks, and he who dies with the most toys wins. And we kind of see it. Sometimes we kind of buy into it a little bit. And Jesus says, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? That's what it's like in the kingdom of God. We hear phrases like follow your heart. Oh, you just got to follow your heart. You do you. Whatever makes you happy. Then we read the Bible, it says the heart is deceitful. And Jesus says, no, don't follow your heart, follow me. Truth is relative. You live out your truth. You got to be true to yourself. And Jesus comes on the scene and just says, I am the way and the truth and the life. Don't get mad. What's the next phrase? Get even. Right? You don't get mad, you get even. Well, maybe we don't get even, but we pray that they understood what they did to me so that something bad happens to them. That's the world's thinking. And Jesus, what does he say? I want you to forgive your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you. You see, Jesus came to establish this upside-down kingdom on this earth, and then he showed us how to live this out. Now, this is really, really important because a lot of us, and I speak for myself when I say this, you know, I grew up thinking that Jesus came to die on the cross so that I could go to heaven. That is why Jesus came, just so that I could go to heaven. And I kind of accept that, then that's it. Then I just wait for that day to come when I die and I know I'll go to heaven. But Jesus came. His mission was to establish this new kingdom of God on earth. It was a new way of living. And then he recruited other people as his representatives of that kingdom. That's who we are. That's who we are. My wife Diana and I, sometimes we will get a meal right after work, and so she won't change when she comes home. And she wears not a uniform, but it's a shirt that has on where she works. It's Albemarle Charlottesville Regional Jail. She has that on a shirt. So sometimes when we go out to eat, sit down to eat, on more than one occasion, somebody would stop and they would look at her and say, you work at the jail. Well, what do you do? Because they're thinking, you don't look like a security guard, you know. You don't look like a guard or anything like that. What do you do? And she goes on to explain that she is a teacher in the jail. She teaches GED classes. And then she goes on to explain, because if you are incarcerated in Virginia and you do not have your high school diploma, it is required that you go to classes so hopefully you could earn your GED. It's something good that come out of you being incarcerated. And be, oh, right? Now, and so essentially, when she's sitting down eating there and she tells that story, she is an ambassador of sorts for the jail, right? Just like anybody who wears a uniform for a company, you are an ambassador of that company. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 says this, we are Christ's ambassadors. that as followers of Jesus, wherever we go, home or work, in our neighborhood, to the gym, to Walmart, we represent Jesus Christ and His kingdom. We are His representatives now. And so we are helping Jesus establish that mission of establishing God's kingdom. We're not just waiting for heaven. You get that? And I end with this, my favorite verse, which is what? John 10:10, from the Message. Jesus said, I came so that they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Jesus came so that we might enjoy life to the full. He didn't come to be a cop. He didn't come to make our life better or to stifle fun. He came that we can enjoy life to the fullest. In fact, He told His disciples in John 15:11, I want my joy to be in you and that your joy to be complete. We studied this past Wednesday in Bible study. Complete joy. The bottom line is this: Jesus didn't come to take us to heaven to make our life better. He came to rescue us and to restore us so that we can become human beings, full human beings, the way that God created us to be. That is why He came to earth. On May 1st, 2003, George W. Bush, President George W. Bush, stood on an aircraft carrier just off the coast of California. And in a televised speech given just 6 weeks after we had invaded Iraq, he stood beneath a banner on that aircraft carrier with a phrase that said, "Mission accomplished." And he announced that major combat operations had ended and the U.S. had prevailed over Saddam Hussein's regime. And he noted in that the mission wasn't fully complete, but the speech gave the impression that the war was essentially over. A lot of you remember that, right? And then you remember how we remained in Iraq for another 8 years. And then we got out and we went back in a little. Jesus Christ came to earth on a mission to rescue and restore humanity. He suffered and bled and hung on a cross, and in His last breath, He declared, "It is finished." Mission accomplished. And 3 days later, God raised Him from the dead, and the resurrection is the validation of Jesus' successful mission. So, as we think about Jesus' mission, we think about the resurrection, how do you respond to Jesus' mission? Have you responded personally to His mission? Are you an ambassador for Jesus' mission? Are you living the life that He came to give? Would you bow your heads, please? I just want you to think about that, ponder that for a moment. You see, Jesus didn't just come into the world. He came for you. So how will you respond to His mission? Just listen for God to speak to you during these few moments of silence. Now I want you to think about some next steps that you might take. What is God guiding you to do next? Lord, we come before You with gratitude for the mission of Your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for revealing your heart to us through him. We thank you that when we were lost, you sought us out. That when we were broken, you made a way to rescue and restore us through the cross and the empty tomb. Father, we praise you for accomplishing what we could never do for ourselves. You have defeated sin and evil and death, and you have invited us into your kingdom and a new way of life. Lord, clear up some of our misunderstanding, because we don't want to minimize your mission, but we want to respond to it fully with repentance and faith and obedience. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would shape us into faithful ambassadors who reflect the mission of Jesus wherever we go. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.